Life moves quickly. Contemplative Tuesday podcast invites you to slow down, take a deep breath, contemplate the Word of God, and prayerfully reflect. I am your host, Lauren Becker, serving as Associate Dean for Spiritual Formation at Gordon College in Wenham, Massachusetts. In this season of Contemplative Tuesday podcast, I'll share reflections from my own journey with God. I come to Him broken, burdened, and grieving. He meets me as healer, redeemer, and comforter. He brings me out of the darkness and into the light, forms beauty from my brokenness, and will do the same in you. Join me, and together we'll ask God to search us, guide us, and reveal Himself to us. The profound truth in mystery is that as we gaze upon Him, we will be made like Him. Let's find ourselves in the God who makes all things new. Recollection. Psalm 121. 1. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? No one likes discomfort. At least, no one I've ever met. I mean, sure, there are those who appreciate an occasional bout with temporary pain. I think of the runner who pushes through the uphill. And I also think of one of my children who actually seems to enjoy the jolt of terror he receives when someone jumps out at him from around the corner. But true discomfort, whatever your definition of that may be, is really, really not fun at all. I'm currently waiting for a text back. In response to a text I sent, an important one. My whole body feels like it's floating in a very bad way, untethered, almost lost. The waiting is painful, as waiting can be. Discomfort is so unpleasant. I notice myself going to extreme lengths to avoid it. Which, saying out loud, sounds almost reasonable. After all, if discomfort is avoidable, if I can spare myself the physical and emotional raw nerve feeling, why wouldn't I go out of my way to skirt that scene? But my circumvention doesn't feel reasonable. I'll say it this way, and it won't sound pretty. To me, comfort is a priority. I have an extreme desire to be comfortable. This can play out in many ways, big and small, and I'll spare you examples. I wonder if you can provide your own from your plight to keep discomfort at a distance. I understand that growth is most often born of resilience, the grit of holding strong in the face of adversity. But oh, how adversity can hurt and I don't like to hurt. I even recognize discomfort is unavoidable, and my attempts at avoidance only add to it, as it creates both increased pain in the resistance and a new environment for the feeling in the anticipation thereof. I just checked my phone again. No text. My discomfort persists, and I, like so much of humanity, am tempted toward a numbing agent. Towards any number of numbing agents, from the socially acceptable to the less so. I'm also tempted toward anger. At whom? I don't know. The world? Like, I have a right to comfort, an expectation that I should be able to live my life outside of its torment. Unsure of what to do with this feeling, I stop. Take a breath. I take a breath and notice I've been forgetting to breathe. Breathing should be effortless, and yet somehow, in the midst of this discomfort, I've muddled what should be mindless. I can't rid myself of this. I can't rid myself of this. I have no effective strategy through which to manage my dis-ease. So I start to pack it up. I wrap up all my words and sentiments and frustrations and feelings into an imagined package, fold after fold after fold. And I lift it all up. I place it before God like a seriously messed up gift, the gift of my distress. I give it to him. He unfolds and unfolds and unfolds. And there it is, laid out before him in broad daylight, placed before the God who is the light. It looks a little less intimidating. And there's something about the light which halts any further decompensation. My mother takes a different approach in her distress. My sad state results in an upward, outward motion, laying it all out above me before God. Hers is an inward movement. She acknowledges her discomfort and all the factors involved and invites God into it. Both are about presence. For me, it's as though light dawns and I realize I'm not alone. And in that awareness, I begin to scoop up the bits and pieces of my distress and show him. Be present with me, even with this disaster placed before us. For her, it's an invitation, a welcoming prayer. Come, God, into this mess inside of me. Be present with me in it, right here where the discomfort resides. My mother and I both recognize this may not clearly or readily ease the discomfort. Though, there is something to bearing it alongside someone we love, someone who understands suffering. There's also the recognition that it won't last forever. One way or another, in the short or very long term, it will resolve. The remnant will be the union, the company, the presence of God. Reflection. Know that God is present with you. Ask him to still your soul and make himself known to you. As you reflect, simply notice. Reserve judgment. Release yourself from the pressure of understanding why. Feel free to pause, allowing as much time as you need. Are you addicted to comfort? Do you have an addiction born from the avoidance of discomfort? What do you do when you don't know what to do? Do you seek presence in the midst of your discomfort? Invite God to reveal himself as you notice. Thank you. Contemplation. God sees you, knows you, and loves you. As you contemplate His word, ask that He would transform you. Listen for God as I read Matthew 26, 36 through 45. Then Jesus went with His disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and He said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with Him, and He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, He fell with His face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as You will." Then He returned to His disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" He asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may Your will be done." When He came back, He again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So He left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then He returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come. Benediction. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed.